Hello, and welcome to episode 46 of the Strong Style Story Podcast. I am your host, Selector Jeffrey Wessel. You can find me at Strong Style Story, without the E in style. The blog is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com, and you are listening to us through the Pro Wrestling Only board podcast feed. With me today, my OG, my co-host, my co-founder, Chris Damasceno. Chris, what's up, brother?
Not a whole lot. We're just basically in the slow months of New Japan Pro Wrestling as a whole, so let's just get our way on through it.
Yeah, this is kind of, we've really, as we record, today was the first day of the World Tag League, and we are definitely in prime who-gives-a-shit territory for the rest of the year, because this really is, like, the least consequential of all the tours. But we'll, let's not dwell on that for now, because we actually had a pretty decent show and tour before this with the Power Struggle and the Super Junior Tag League. I actually really enjoyed the tournament overall.
Yeah, to me, there were points in the tournament which it felt like the round-robin format was still something that they were getting used to, since this was the first year that they implemented that with the Super Junior side of the fence. We've been used to it being a one-and-done.
Yeah, single elimination, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So seeing it in a round-robin format was interesting. I think format-wise, some of the teams seem to have worn themselves out a little bit during it, but definitely a good set of bouts came out of it. The results were, excuse me, I'd say results overall, fairly pleasant, even if with the weird kind of point standings that led to the finals being a three-way tag the way that it was. It was,
yeah, still, that was,
and we'll touch on that Power Struggle.
Well, yeah, and plus, the one thing I'm going to say is that I really did not see what purpose, like, Volador and Soberano serve, because they really did a whole bunch of nothing in the end.
They really were just a pair of bodies there. That's exactly
was. Now, mind you, Volador and Soberano probably were going to be doing, you know, the same matches in Arena Mexico, too. Because we all know CML booking is just kind of whatever right now, because we're well past the anniversario.
Yeah, so at the very least they got to travel and do some slightly different stuff. So,
right, and actually we're going to talk about that because they announced the participants for Fantastica Mania, so we're going to talk about that in a little while on today's program. But go ahead.
Sorry, no, I did wanted to take a shut up and just say a big shout out to Robbie Eagles, as somebody who's seen him a couple of times live prior to him coming into the Super Tag League with Taiji Ishimori. It's nice to see him performing at this level now and doing it pretty well. Him and Ishimori were...
We kind of lost you there. Can you...
Oh, him sorry. And Ishimori were... Yeah, I'm just saying, like, him and Ishimori, to me, were a very fun combination to watch throughout the tournament.
Yeah, they really weren't bad. I'll give props to Ryusuke Taguchi and ACH, because they were consistently entertaining throughout the whole whole tournament.
Why isn't ACH signed yet?
Seriously, why? I mean, he's over as hell too. I mean, they love him there, but they won't give him a permanent deal.
Yeah, but, come on. At this point, it's overdue.
Yeah, it really kind of is. I will say, my personal favorites, of course, for the whole tournament were, of course, Bushi and Shingo. Even though I'm still,
they surprised.
I'm still kind of scratching my head at Shingo being considered a junior, but,
And, again, I do think that it's a temporary thing for him until they get Hiromu back, but I was pleasantly surprised with how well Bushi and Shingo actually meshed together throughout the tournament. It felt like it was going to take him a little while longer, in my opinion, to kind of get things together, but no, they they were doing themselves pretty well, and
Yeah, they
Capone
did. I
3K.
mean, and unfortunately, I'm just gonna bury the whole idea of the three-way though, because I mean, yeah, the match itself was mildly entertaining, but I mean, I think we all know three-ways are just, by and large, just not good. And now
They
that they,
tend to be a mess.
yeah, and now they've announced it again, this very same match again for Wrestle Kingdom.
Honestly, I just think at this point that if you're gonna go that route, you might as well just have the belts get taken off Despy and Kanemaru and just have Roppongi 3K versus Belij. Because for the most
Yeah,
part,
well,
I like Despy, but I just don't think Kanemaru adds all that much to
right. But I
anything.
mean, yeah, but I
So.
mean, there was also the story. But I mean, the storyline before Hiromu got injured was that there wasn't a legit feud between Bushi and Hiromu and, Kanemaru and El Desperado. And now, okay, Hiromu got injured, so they brought in Shingo Takagi, who, fresh off of resigning from Dragon Gate. And then, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just. Yeah, Kanemaru and Desperado, I think, I mean, you could tell that the crowd's done with them. I mean,
Yeah,
you could tell that
they
they
want to see those
really.
guys lose at this point
Yeah, I
and
mean,
just
the crowd
really
is
be.
done with them. I mean, the constant bullshit in their matches, in their matches. Things are what they are. So moving on to the Power Struggle show itself, which
Yeah.
was it was decent. I mean, I really didn't pay much attention to any of the undercard, if I'm gonna be honest.
The undercard had its bits and pieces, but kind of previews of certain things that you're probably going to see come the actual show itself. So I could appreciate it for what it was there and giving some guys a spot to do a little thing here and there. I liked Okada and Trent teaming together. I like those two enough.
Yeah,
It's a good little thing.
I mean that was it was what it was. But I mean, if you look at the Golden Lovers against Tanahashi and Finlay, like who the fuck didn't know who was gonna take the fall there,
Yeah, sometimes you telegraph it a little too much,
Yeah,
and
it's
that was a
like
situation where it
right, it's like
did.
what it's like those matches where you have like it's like Battle Like Fale, the Gorillas of Destiny. And I'm going back a little bit, but Battle Like Fale, the Gorillas of Destiny, and like I don't know, Chase Owens versus Hiroshi Tanahashi, Michael Elgin, Juice Robinson, and Shota Umino. I wonder who's gonna take the fall here,
Yeah, and but rather than focus on that, I do want to focus on one very particular thing that did happen during that undercard, which was the G.O.D. Robbie Eagles match against the usual suspects there, in terms of Kushida and the heavy boys tag team of Makabe and, well, Headbutt Boy.
And haunt, yeah, from GBH, yeah.
What I did like though is the fact that the ankle injury that they were playing out with Ishimori turning out to be a psych little moment there, which made for a really nice little bit to set up the junior heavyweight title match that we're going to have at Wrestle Kingdom, which A, I'm extremely happy that it's not going to be a multi-man bullshit like it was last year, or this year even, I
Yeah,
should
that
say.
match broke my heart a little bit. I will say this. I mean, if Ishimori's injury was work, then it was a nice touch that they took him off the show in, leading up to that, because we got that nice little Robbie Eagles versus Yota Tsuji match, which I watched that. It was not bad.
Yeah, definitely. No, I felt they did a really nice touch with setting that up because yeah, it's gonna be a very good match between them at Wrestle Kingdom. Kushida is probably one of the most consistent guys in pro wrestling altogether. Like, I don't think he's seldom capable of having a bad match, and when he does, it's usually on the other guy's side. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Cody. Still.
At the same time, I am going to bury one thing about the way that the card was set up for Power Struggle, is that how bullshit was it that Ayato Yoshida was there like the whole tour, but they left him off the actual Power Struggle show?
Yeah, that kind of was a dick move, to say the least.
It really was. I mean, he was a trooper and going to like every single show where, you know, most of the part, you know, none of the part timers would show up to these.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know, hey, we gotta fit in. You know.
Oh, you mean like our esteemed IWGP Heavyweight Champion?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, again, you know, ask again why nobody gives like why, you know, public. At least on the internet, we'll admit it is on the internet where a lot of the criticism is. But like, yeah. why is the interest going down? Because there's nothing compelling happening with that. You know, here we are in the build up to, you know, the biggest show of the year, and the champion, and the defending champion barely shows up on these shows. You know,
and I get that they have to rest and stuff like that in terms of preparation. I do understand you don't want to overwork people in that regard, but at the same time, a little promo appearance here and there, some VTRs. I mean, there's ways
something
around this sort
of
thing. Yeah.
I mean, Tanahashi's showing up to all these shows.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, isn't he in that match too?
Tana, he wasn't in the triple. Right, he was in the.
I mean, isn't he in that main event match at Wrestle Kingdom? So doesn't he need to rest up too? Or
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, yep. I mean, give me a break. This is like one of the least compelling and least interesting IWGP title reigns I can in recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
I think the worst part is that because we haven't had that many of them at all over the past couple of years, so it is really telling at this point when we're going as far as saying that. So
yeah, well, I guess if you want to, where do you want to? I mean, if you want to draw the line, like at, you know, the new beginning, 2012, which was when, you know, the Rainmaker era began. You know. I mean, let's face it. I mean, both of AJ's reigns were kind of. I mean, they weren't long, but they weren't short either. I guess
they were a fairly good length that allowed them to actually have like interesting title defenses against people we wanted to see him go up against at that particular time.
Right, like the match against, you know, Kota Ibushi.
Mm-hmm.
Was absolutely fantastic, you know.
Or the good triple threat between him, Okada, and Elgin when Elgin wasn't a dipshit, or when he wasn't a known dipshit.
when we didn't know he was a, you know, sex pest of some kind, you know. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm just gonna go down a hole of bitching. So we're just gonna.
No worries. Yeah, let's move on.
So okay, so we basically talked about the three-way tag final. It was a decent match. Roppongi 3K win the junior tag league. But again, now they've booked this very same match again for Wrestle Kingdom. What was the fucking point of this?
Yeah, that's the part that I didn't get. I would think that not involving the champions in this situation, you might as well have just let Roppongi 3K and Shingo and Bushi have fought this one as a basic, hey, not only is it the tag league championship, but it's the contendership rights to who gets to finally take these guys down at the dome, and just do it that way. Like,
yeah, I just don't understand the obsession lately with three-way matches, because I mean,
I think it's an easy way of getting people on the card, and that's a problem.
Yes, I mean, I get that, but maybe that's a problem with having too many people on your roster then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like, a bit of an issue when you're trying to just get bodies in for the sake of getting bodies in.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta be frank. I mean, you know, it's been this way for years and years and years, but I mean, the endless stream of tag matches on these shows, like, like, you could start counting the number of singles matches during tours on one hand now. You know? And it's ridiculous. Like I said, maybe we just have too many people on the roster. We need to start scaling some people back. Although, if rumors are what they are, we may actually be seeing that happen. If certain rumors are coming to pass. But we'll leave that maybe for another time.
Yeah, let's keep moving through the card. Obviously, yeah, so the next one.
The NEVER Openweight Championship. Hirooki Goto regained the title from the guy he lost it to, Taichi. I wanted to like this match, and I just didn't, because I've never been on this, you know, Taichi is actually good train that's been happening in the last 6 months, and yeah, I'm still missing that train, because this match was not great at all. Although, I will say this, I'm more intrigued to know how this match would have gone had Will Ospreay been available he was originally was.
Because that was the initial match that we're supposed to be getting. Finally, we're supposed to be getting a junior heavyweight against, you know, a heavyweight. What the NEVER Openweight title was supposed to have.
We finally remember what openweight actually means.
Yeah, but alas, Goto being the last-minute replacement and us getting an uninspired match sounds par for the course. Sadly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Again, I wanted to like this match. I wanted to be into this. I mean, I thought that maybe Goto would deliver. And, I mean, I guess he did his part, but he didn't have much to work with. Sorry, guys, I don't know what the hipster obsession here is. Taichi fucking sucks.
I'm entertained by his bullshit antics in the heavyweight division far more than the junior division.
Yeah, and he
can get away with some of that.
Yeah, and he has a distinctive entrance. That's about it. You know, otherwise, you really wouldn't know that he was brought up in the wrestling world by Toshiaki Kawada. You know?
That's the point. But again, it just feels uninspired at this point. And why is... Well, even though it's in the lower card portions, I just don't understand what is the obsession with trying to make Goto a thing.
You know, we're going to get yelled at by certain people again for.
I don't give a shit. we're no fucks given mode at this point as we go to Wrestle Kingdom. I don't.
Damn.
He has good theme music. At this point, to me, that's pretty much all he's got.
Well, you know, and if he, if he's given a decent, something decent to work with, he could have a good match. At the same time, remember, he was in the best match at Wrestle Kingdom last year.
Yeah, but
him and Suzuki. But again, if you have to give him something to work with, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. When you have to have somebody that is beyond your level just to make a workable match come out of you, that's not something more about you than I think it does the other person.
I don't know. I mean, I'm giving him a pass for this one because it was Taichi. But, you know.
Which is fair. That is a fair statement to make. But I can respect it.
He's really just kind of spinning his wheel at this point.
That's been the past 2 years for him, though, if you really think about it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, yeah, but then he surprises us, you know, with, you know, the best match at Wrestle Kingdom, and we're like, oh, well, shit, maybe
and then
Goto is.
And then proceeds to piss us off for the next 11 months when he comes off just as equally uninspired and brooding about it as ever.
Yeah, I mean,
fucking Goto.
I mean, he's got some good qualities to him. I don't hate him, but yeah, I just find it more or less really hard to get excited for anything involving him anymore because invariably he ends up looking like a chump, no matter what. You know,
that's basically the gist of what. That's exactly kind of the mind frame that I'm at with it as well. I'm just like, why bother investing time on a guy that eventually we're just going to be really eh. About, unless you're like an obsessed Goto fan, then, you know, there's no helping you at that point.
Well,
you're gonna stick to your guy no matter what.
Everybody is somebody's favorite.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, everybody is somebody's favorite. And I don't mean to, you know, I know we're kind of in who gives a shit mode, but, you know, at the same time, I mean, I'm not trying to shit on anybody liking somebody, but.
It's more the frustration, I think, for us, and the fact that we've seen this book be written before, and we know it's ending, and it's kind of disappointing. I'm
Yeah, I mean,
sorry.
I really think that Goat, I mean, if you look at, take somebody like, you know, I don't know, like Yoshitatsu, who we could, all of us, every one of us completely wrote him off. You know, and he was able to have, you know, a resurrection of sorts at in All Japan now, you know? I don't know, I haven't been paying too much attention to All Japan lately, so I don't know what exactly he's up to lately. But,
I think for the most part he's still tagging with Kento here and there, which is a good enough role as any.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is a good enough role as any, and but I mean, he looks, you know, somewhat decent and motivated now, and I'm just thinking maybe, you know, and I understand how dojo guys, you know, tend to stick around, you know, that, you know, if you're loyal, you got a job for life. But I just can't help thinking that, you know, in Goto's case, I mean, like I said, I at this point, I even doubt he's going to get, you know, the sympathy reign that, like, Nakanishi got with the IWGP title. He just looks nowhere near reaching that level right now, you know?
No, and I think the biggest thing, too, is just any sort of change or tweak to the character or something that tries to make him stand out a little bit more rather than just be the exact same guy that we've seen these last 2-3 years. Like, something needs to happen. Joining Chaos wasn't enough after getting beaten by Okada enough times.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's been a slow boat to know. It's, you know, and yeah, that he's loosened up a little bit since joining Chaos, but to what end? I mean, so what, you know? And now, you know, I really think he would be better served going elsewhere at this point. I don't know where. Maybe All Japan, maybe Big Japan. You know.
Yeah.
I really think he would be better served elsewhere at this point because it's not enough to just like the guy. It's just like, you know, I can't really get invested in him because, you know, he gets stuck in, you know, he's stuck in the never level, and he ends up looking like a shithead half the time, you know?
Pretty much. That said, though, let's move on to an in-character-esque shithead taking on Bestic Boy, and what was probably one of my favorite matches of that entire card, being Tomohiro Ishii defending the Revolution Pro Wrestling British Heavyweight Championship.
The undisputed British Heavyweight Championship.
Thank you, yeah.
Oh my god! Yeah, this match was absolutely fantastic. I love this match to pieces.
I'm glad we got to see it because they definitely brought it from start to finish on that. The kind of intensity and kind of the ugly feud that they've had with each other in Britain to begin with, involving this title.
Oh yeah,
coming to a nice head here. So it was really good seeing a lot of these different attempts at finishers, the kind of the false finishes we've had, reversals upon reversals, just a lot of really good stuff here throughout. Definitely go seek this match out if you're going to watch anything on this card.
Oh, hell yeah, yeah. No, seriously, you need, if you don't watch any other match, you definitely need to see this one. This match was an absolute beauty. Just, you know, hard-hitting, you know, just two old tough guys beating the shit out of each other.
And sometimes you can't ask for anything more than that.
Yeah, pretty much. And I like the fact that it's still ongoing, too. Like, this feud is not ending.
No, it's been, again, I feel for some people within the audience, it might get a little bit lost in translation to a certain extent. But yeah, this has been their entire year thus far, and RPW has been in encounters of some way in shape and form involving Ishii and the two main Suzuki Gun guys being Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. So
oh yeah, yeah. And in fact, we're gonna talk about you know, speaking of, you know, RevPro, because there was some involvement last weekend, in fact, or last week.
Mm-hmm.
Weekend, one of the two. Either way. So let's see, back to Power Struggle. The semi main was Tetsuya Naito defeating Zack Sabre Jr. for the first time in 2018. not a bad match. I really enjoyed this one.
Mm-hmm. It did feel a little telegraphed, in my opinion, because we knew at a certain point or another, Naito needed to get his win back after getting bested the first two times. But they did do a really good job playing up to the finish of the match itself and making things happen. So,
yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And they did pretty well here overall. There's no doubt about that. I really got into it. And it was good that they finally they ended that feud. Maybe we can go back to Evil and Sabre now. that never really had a resolution.
Yeah, for sure. It felt like it's one of those things where they sort of left it hanging there just so that way, I guess, Naito could eventually get his win back in certain things. But overall, from the co-main match perspective, just to go through it really quick, fairly good stuff in its own right there. Zach is a guy with a style that I feel either people love it or people hate it. There's really not an in-between when it comes to him.
I know that, and I unfortunately think I may be leaning more towards the hated side. I mean, I don't dislike Zack Sabre Jr., but a lot of what he does just does not come off as convincing to me.
No, and I agree, and I do kind of agree to a certain extent in that regard, because you see other guys that work that sort of similar catch wrestling type of style, and you see kind of their build and their bulk and how they do certain things within the mat, and it just feels like Zach is doing like the really sort of overly playful, almost meant to be comedic type shit while acting like an asshole instead of just outright beating people up.
Yeah, I get that Sabre wrestles a style that's it's very much the World of Sport style. If you don't know what I'm referring to, of course, check out Mr. Lariato on Twitter, because he will show gifs from the old days of World of Sport on ITV in the UK. And yeah, Sabre Jr. really does wrestle in that style. Kind of overblows it a little bit too, but a lot of what he does just really is not convincing to me. When he's against the opponents that he's up against,
And I do think that for a lot of people, that's their main gripe with him. I hear pretty much the same thing on it. For me, I'm partial to it. There's points in which I'm like, oh, this looks nice, and then there are points that are like, okay, this looks kind of pointless. Can you just move on to whatever else you guys need to do?
So yeah, some of his in-ring banter is absolutely great, but I will still never forget the admonishing of Herb Gordon with "The world is round, you dickhead."
I'll be right back. My order's here.
Okay. Well, at this point, let's do a plug for Pro Wrestling Only board. Check out ProWrestlingOnly.com to explore other podcasts, along with match reviews, features and retrospectives, reviews of wrestling books, video games and matches, playlists, wrestler appearances and non-wrestling TV shows and movies, and more. You can also join the conversation by signing up at the PWO forums. We've been online for over a decade with over 2,000 registered members and an archive of over 4 million threads. Our message board is a vibrant community all its own. Whether you want to talk about a specific match in our match discussion archive, take a deep dive in the Microscope forum, or discuss more general topics from wrestling's past and present, check all of this out and more at www.prowrestlingonly.com. So, overall, decent match. Sabre, I could take or leave, to be honest. I mean, a lot of what he does is not convincing to me. He has some great banter in-ring. I mean, I think he works well with Taka, which, we're going to have to talk about him here in a little bit, too. And, so honestly, I'm glad we're finally past this with Naito, though, because I think this was a hump that we needed to get over.
Yeah, it was a minor... It was a thing to keep him busy, but now that it's finally done, I'm glad for it. We can move on to things for both of them.
And actually, I have a thing to talk about with Naito later on, too, as we get onto this. It's something that I've been kind of churning over in my mind. But anyway, and it's going to involve this very thing that we're about to talk about, in which in the main event of Power Struggle, Chris Jericho defeated Evil to retain the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, tapping him out with Walls of Jericho, Lion Tamer, whatever you want to call it. And, again, this match was decent. I think a lot of this centered around, you know, Jericho and his shtick.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Which, it's one of those things, to be fair as well, there were some points in which I don't think he was looking as sharp as he should, but then again, this is also a 47-year-old man who just got out of a booze cruise, so I kind of understand where some of that shit came from.
But yeah, overall, it's, I don't know. Do we need to talk about that booze cruise or nah? I don't.
And nah, we're fine.
There's nothing there. Okay. Oh, the elite left the Bullet Club. Oh, darn. Wow, there's a great way to end your this major feud. It's gone across two different companies. We're just leaving. Oh, okay, yep, great.
Cool. All right. Thanks. Anyways.
Thanks for wasting everybody's time on this.
Again, just to kind of reiterate on this, I do feel that since Jericho's come to New Japan, they definitely played up the formula of very brawler, outside, weaponry-esque type matches, which is fine, because at the end of the day, he is like nearing his 50s at this point in time, and he doesn't have kind of a lot of the same legs under him that he did 10 years ago, for example.
I mean, anybody expecting a 5-star classic out of Jericho at this point may be sorely mistaken.
I think there's still room for some of those, but the problem is it's that right opponent, right time, right build, and you're not going to get that every single possible time, but him and Evil did deliver a nice brawl, because Evil specializes in this sort of stuff too, so they played right up each other's alleys at this particular junction. So
yeah, no, they did. I agree with that, and I think that Evil was a great opponent for him in this. I mean, it wasn't, but it was, still wasn't a great match in the way that, like, you know, Ishii and Suzuki were.
Yeah, definitely. It was a good match, absolutely. Yeah. And
it was good. It was watchable. It was entertaining. It wasn't a great match, but, you know. So long story short, so Jericho retains, and then, of course, he continued to, you know, put the hurting on Evil, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, you know, led to a rescue sequence with Naito making the save. And, you know, of course, you know, so Naito up and challenges Jericho, you know, for the title that he thinks he hates.
Yeah, but he does state specifically this is about revenge for that one time at Dominion, more so than even bringing up the IC title.
Well,
the IC title
just
happens to be there because, well, the guy's got it kind of the same way that it was with Suzuki. He just sort of has the title, so...
Well,
let's put it on the line.
But, you know, again, I have a thing about this. I have a thing I've been kind of churning over my head with this, which is a lot of 2018 has been... Here's my theory, looking at the face of evidence. Sorry, I had to mute for a second. Here's where I'm coming from, which is 2018 has... We've all been... You know, kind of miffed about how Naito's been booked this year, and you know, especially since he didn't even make the G1 finals this year, and we thought maybe, you know, Naito deserves another chance at, you know, headlining the Tokyo Dome or, you know, getting the IWGP title. So if we're going to look at this purely at a kayfabe level, right? Are you with me so far?
Yeah, I just am keeping myself muted so that way I'm actually making sure everything goes through.
Gotcha.
On that. But yes, I've got you so far. Yeah.
Okay, so here's, because what one of the, you know, if we're going to take it from kayfabe, we took the idea that Naito reverting to Stardust Genius during the match with Okada at the Dome back in January was the reason why he lost, is because he tried to make something that wasn't there happen again. And he paid the price for it, because he went back to Stardust Genius rather than staying as El Ingobernable, which is how he got to this position in the first place. And
I think now in 2018 he's been working to get past that. This is like a mourning, you know, like a mourning period, if you will. He has to finally accept that, yeah, Stardust Genius is dead, and when he tried to go back to it, it failed. So I think the Intercontinental Championship is the same thing. This is something that he considers an albatross. He says it was this belt that prevented him from having that main event in the first place in Wrestle Kingdom 8 because of, you know, the fuckery between Nakamura and Tanahashi and the vote and all that. So Naito has had it out for this title ever since. I mean, he destroyed the first version of it. But now it keeps coming back to him. I think what this match will have to do is, and I could be completely wrong when I'm saying this, but I think what this match means is Naito has to finally accept that the Intercontinental title exists, is a thing, and he just has to get over it at this point. And once he does that, he'll be able to get back to that level where he can challenge for the IWGP Heavyweight title again.
You know, I had kind of a similar train of thought to that throughout the year as well. More so not in the perspective of when the IC title has been mentioned throughout this year, it hasn't been, oh, this title's trash, I'm going to throw it in the trash at any given opportunity, like the first go-around to it, but more so ignored, kind of like he's avoiding the subject for awkward reasons. So I definitely feel that there is a story that they can tell in that regard if they choose to go that route, where he has to make his peace with the Intercontinental title before not only chasing another Dome main event, but being able to win a Dome main event.
So we're thinking along the same lines. I think that's where it has to go. And I know that, you know, some people are thinking, well, he's being bumped down to this, even though he is a, even though he's the most over guy in the company. But I mean, I think that, you know, if you look at it at a story from a storytelling perspective, this is why it has to happen. Like, this is like one of the last obstacles Naito has to get across, get past. You know, is his hatred and apathy towards this title, because if he doesn't get past this, he can't have, you know, an epic, you know, IWGP Heavyweight title reign. And I could be completely wrong about all of this, and I'm reading way too much into it, but that's just how it seems to me.
It definitely is a way that they can tell that story. I think for a lot of us is just frustrating because we've seen places that get a hot hand, run with it, and benefit from it rather than just keeping the hot hand down up until it's a point it's like, oh, we have to do this, and it feels like it's too little too late.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I mean, I obviously, you know, from discussion this week, WWE's about ready to have a similar situation on their hands.
Oh boy,
as we've seen, but this is a WWE show, so we're not going to go there. But maybe a similar situation here. I think, like I said, this is just me spitballing. I could be completely 100% off on this. And I'll look like an idiot because of it, but, you know, it wouldn't be the first time I've looked like an idiot on this show.
It's not as bad as Enochism Twitter, so...
Well, yeah, the less said about that, the better. Yeah. I noticed that seems to have gone down now. now that All In's over, now nobody wants to talk about that now.
Yeah.
Seems like.
Fantastic.
Let's run down. Okay, so in the immediate aftermath of that, so they announced the match at Wrestle Kingdom now, which was Jericho against Tetsuya Naito, as well as a few other matches. Hey, Chris, do you think because it's Jericho in the semi-main, or is this gonna get co-main event status like last year, or not because Kenny Omega ain't in it?
Definitely be the second last match in the order, for sure. I just think the play seems to be Naito doesn't deserve to win this champ, beat him for it the first time around. There's no rematch. Well, Naito's just like, fuck you, I just want to beat you up. So,
right, but that wasn't the question I asked. But the question I asked was, are they going to list this title match, which has Jericho in the semi-main event, as a co-main event like they did at Wrestle Kingdom 12, or no, because Kenny Omega is not in the match?
I would like to see him just for shits and giggles, personally, but yeah. I don't think it's going to happen now.
Yeah, which is kind of what I thought. Yeah, in case you wonder, you know, who New Japan is really trying to bend over backwards for here. In the meantime, so other matches have been announced now. You know, Kanemaru Desperado versus Roppongi 3K versus Bushi and Shingo, the tag belts. That'll probably open the show after the New Japan Rumble. Kushida versus Taiji Ishimori for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. And a special singles match, Kazuchika Okada versus Jay White. That promo that Okada cut at the press conference had me like, oh yeah, Okada's back now.
I'm so happy to our little Rainmaker's making such good progress after his midlife crisis.
Yeah, I think he's moving past this. He's getting with it now. I want to talk about the another possible match that's going to be coming up. And this came out of RevPro Uprising, which happened on Friday, November the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
As we record this. So Ishii has a second defense of the undisputed British heavyweight title now, because he beat David Starr, which I thought was kind of weird that the undisputed British cruiserweight champion is challenging for this. But yeah, so Ishii defeated David Starr. And then he was attacked by Zack Sabre Jr., demanding that his contractually obligated rematch be held at Wrestle Kingdom 13. So, that will kick the ass out of the Ring of Honor heavyweight title matches that have happened the last few years. Did they do one last year? No, they didn't, because Cody lost it, and then it became the handsome battle.
Handsome battle.
the handsome battle, and which made that match about 100 times more interesting, honestly. But, yeah, so that might be getting added to the card. What does that tell you about what New Japan thinks of their relationship with Ring of Honor right now, if at this point the Rev Pro title is going to be defended at Wrestle Kingdom and the ROH title will not be?
Well, I mean, they booked Jay Lethal that one or two times, really much noise for him, so I can kind of understand where they'd be coming from on that. Plus, it's just one of those things where it's all right. The ROH title can stay stateside for the time being.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, there's no clamoring for it at this point. Meanwhile, also happening at that Rev Pro show, Zack Sabre Jr. and Suzuki retained the undisputed British tag team belts. They beat Aussie Open, Mark David and Kyle Fletcher to retain that. Taichi beat Chris Brooks in the show opener, but El Desperado fell to the winner of the British J Cup, El Fantasmo.
Nice.
At that show. And also,
Fantasmo's pretty good from what I've seen of him. So,
also, relevant to your interests here, Chris, Satoshi Kojima beat Walter.
I heard it was a good match between them.
At that show. And beating Shane Taylor, you know, our excursionee Tomoyuki Oka as Dominator Great Okarn, continuing his comedy
he's
match Ring of Terror.
I mean, hey, at the very least, he's getting some experience in his excursion. I can't be mad. Can't be mad at that.
Yeah, well, he may be doing better than Kawato at this point, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Kawato's not really doing that great in CMLL, unfortunately.
It feels like they're forcing him to learn kind of like a completely different style, and the fact that it's so different from what he's been used to doing, it's kind of seemingly throwing him off entirely on everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, he can't even catch it. He can't catch dives, which, you know, in Lucha, you need to be able to know how to catch dives, so I don't know. This may not... I mean, I'm hoping when he, I mean, I'm still having great hopes for him when he comes back, because let's face it, you know, neither Sho or Yo were, you know, lighting it up on their excursions either.
No.
Either as, you know, either as Sho and Yo in as the Tempura boys in Ring of Honor, or, you know, as Raijin and Fujin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a shame because, I mean, Kawada was, like, really becoming my favorite. You know, yeah, even above, you know, our big son Kitamura.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see something about him? Like, the real reason why he's out is because he was in a car wreck or something, or did I completely misread something? Or
I don't think I saw that specifically regarding that. I just know that it was one of those things. He was just basically been recovering, so.
I thought I heard something about, excuse my animal here in the background. I just heard something about a car wreck or an accident of some kind.
Oh yikes! That would explain why he's been out longer than in that case, and that is not just the concussion.
Well, the initial story we heard was like a head injury, but now I heard he was in a car wreck. Maybe he was in a car wreck too. I don't know. Maybe
I'm actually just looked it up. Apparently, it was a bad scooter accident he sustained back at the start of the year that crushed his leg.
Oh my god! So like so maybe he didn't have a head injury to begin with?
It seems like it could have. I don't know. Maybe he did have that concussion, because that was a little bit before the beginning of 2018, if I recall correctly.
I'll have to look. I'll have to look that up. Maybe we can. That's something for.
No, yeah, because he hasn't been around since New Beginning in Osaka. Okay.
Yeah, because he was in the middle of it. Yeah, because he was in the middle of that. You know. Several match series.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. I guess it did get revealed.
Yeah, March 4th is when he had the concussion, is when we heard about the concussion injury. When would this scooter accident have happened?
Sometime in the middle, apparently. But apparently it was one of those, it was a leg, it was apparently an accident that crushed his leg, so that's why he's been not around, apparently.
Oh my god.
So yeah, no, that explains a lot now, come to think of it.
Yeah, it really does. But oh geez. You know, that's not something you want to
But then again, if you remember, he did tweet a picture particularly of like his leg muscles and stuff like that and talking about recovery.
I did see that. I do remember that, but now okay, so now it's all coming together a little bit here, so
yeah.
So anyway, so we got completely. Oh yeah, so yeah, Oka maybe doing better than Kawato at this point as far as their excursions go.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to talk about Kenny Omega and Rey Fénix or nah?
Thought it was a good match from the bits and pieces that I did see. Fénix in general is a fantastic competitor, so you're gonna get a good match out of him. I think regardless of who you put him up against. Like, he is one of those people in wrestling right now that I just think that cannot have a bad match.
Well, him and his brother, yes.
Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, like, just to make this as a quick point and go over it altogether, me personally, wrestling-wise, I still like Kenny Omega. Like, when he just gets down to it and cuts away a lot of the chicanery, or if the chicanery is at the very least, like, playing to a comedic side of things, I'm perfectly fine with it. It's just this reign has been incredibly uninspired, and he's taking a not at all like mature response to a lot of the criticism that he's been getting, which has been making him really feel like he's soft. I'm sorry, like he's soft.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and yeah, I mean he can still put together a decent match, especially with a decent opponent. It's just a lot of the bullshit behind the scenes that has. Not that has really dragged this down, and you know, again, I'm still not going to forget how you know San Francisco was it San Francisco? No, it was Long Beach. I'm sorry, the last Long Beach show ended with a match that in which they took a match absolutely everybody wanted to see and gave us and turned it into a match absolutely nobody asked for. You know? And then to add insult to injury, the match wasn't even good at King of Pro Wrestling. I mean, that was like the worst King of Pro Wrestling main event in the history of that of this show. You know, since it's only been around since 2012.
Yeah, it's only been 6 years, but so far that's definitely in the running for the worst one of the bunch.
The worst main event that they've had. I mean, that was, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, again, I don't want to continue to make this like a negative, you know, negative show against Kenny Omega, because, you know, a lot of people still swear by him, which is, you know, great, but at the same time, it really is not. It just really has led to just this malaise that I don't know. Definitely, you and I are feeling. Lawrence has bailed on wrestling in general. It seems like, you know.
I can't blame him, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of bullshit. There's been a lot of bullshit in wrestling in 2018. That's especially the types of wrestlers that get stuck up for by fellow workers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go too far into this. Although I guess we're going to have to, because we kind of let's do this first. Let's go through the Lions Break shows.
Yeah,
and I want to dovetail into something, and then we'll talk about the tag league, since we kind of have to. I'm not speaking one thing about the Global Wars shows in ROH, because let's face it, there were like, it was hardly any New Japan participation compared to previous years, and these just really just seemed like, you know, Ring of Honor shows, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we didn't even get the IWGP US title defense because Cody Rhodes fucked his knee up.
Well,
which, you know, that'll happen, but, you know, still, it was like the one, you know, there was at least, you know, something to do with, you know, New Japan with an IWGP title. And
the one time.
The one time, and we couldn't have it. So, you know, it is what it is. So Lions Break took place. I haven't seen these show up yet. Maybe they have. I haven't
checked it yet either, so.
Yeah. But,
if anyone wants to tell, if anyone knows about that, once you listen to this and the shows are up, please feel free to tweet at Strong Style Story without the E in style.
That's right. The promised match between Hirooki Goto and Jeff Cobb didn't happen because Cobb had flight issues going from Buffalo to Anaheim on that Saturday. So,
I think the weather, something like that, did it to him.
Yeah. So instead we got Hirooki Goto versus ACH, which, actually, I kind of want to see that. I think that'll be really interesting, actually.
For sure. Yeah, no, it definitely looked intriguing on paper. And again, playing to the whole open weight thing, which they really should do more of.
I agree. I totally agree. And, you know, again, the main event of the second show, which was on Sunday the 11th, did anyone for a second think that Finlay was actually going to go over Kenny Omega in this?
Good lord.
Yeah, I mean, these are what they were, which were just exhibition-type things, because it was part of Bushiroad's own, you know, corporate convention.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was an attraction to the overall convention itself, not based around that show itself.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't any way that, you know, these were going to be in any way consequential to anything. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, David Finlay beating Jushin Liger just seems really wrong to me. But, you know, at the same time, and, you know, the some of the, you know, a lot of the dojo, you know, the LA Dojo guys got to show off, too. You know, Alex Coughlin, Clark Connors, and Carl Fredericks got to show off a little bit. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's good for them that the Shibata's boys managed to get a little bit of a showing there.
Yeah, yeah. So, in any event, so yeah, I mean, that's what Lions Break was. I mean, it was just, again, it was just exhibition-type matches.
That's a fun little thing for Bushi Road to throw into their own con.
And you know, again, the cool thing was is that if you already had a Kara Expo badge, you could have just walked right in. You wouldn't have been able to sit down if you
were
standing room. But you just walk in, and it was there, and, you know.
Yeah, just walk in and watch, like, an hour or so of pro wrestling standing up from the fairly good enough spot. Yeah, doesn't sound like a bad idea, actually, for an overall con day.
Yeah, all told, there's no way that this show went over an hour.
Yeah, from the looks of it, it was just like the same way where for people who go to conventions where you have panels that go for an hour, hour and a half, that's exactly what this felt like. It felt like a 2-day New Japan panel in a convention.
Yeah, actually, that really is a good way to put it. Actually, that may be what the Daytona Beach show should have been. But, you know, instead we got, you know, an hour and a half delay and a registered sex offender on the show. Yay. Yippee.
Looking pieces.
Well, I mean, again, it was, I mean, anyway, I've already talked about
it. You've Daytona. Already, yeah, we've already covered this on the show. You can go to past episodes.
A few times. So, hey, let's talk about this for a minute. And so Taka Michinoku got himself busted in a huge way. He got exposed for having an affair.
For the past eight years,
which the long story short is he got basically booted from the promotion that he founded and still owns, Kaitai Dojo, K-Dojo. He's been removed from the board and will be suspended a year's worth of earnings. It doesn't say anything about him not being able to wrestle on these shows, but I don't know. But all I know is this is going to be a very Japan thing, because Japan really still takes this, you know, affairs like this very seriously. Although, you know, as friend of the show JB pointed out, like, well, gee, if only he wasn't married, this wouldn't have been anything.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, that's true. But again, now why we're talking about this is because we don't know as yet if there's going to be any blowback on Taka in New Japan, because there is some precedent for this happening, of course, which was in 2014, Taichi.
Yeah, ironically, one of the stable mates.
Ironically enough, got suspended for 2 months with cut wages after he got outed for having an affair. And yet, it's pretty galling that they would take action over this, whereas, you know, we've carried this torch. In fact, we're at, like, basically the three-year anniversary going from the very first show that you and I recorded of carrying this torch about why did nothing ever happen with Tamaki Honma after being outed in the media by Kyoko Ichiki for, you know, domestic abuse. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely nothing happened from that. And yet, and again, you know, Michael Elgin still continues to be employed by New Japan in the face of his own misconduct. Which, once again, just to make this perfectly clear what the misconduct was, it was, you know, verbally abusing the victim of a sexual assault by one of Elgin's wrestlers and students in the St. Louis territory, while at the same time propositioning her. Just to make it perfectly clear what the misconduct was.
Yeah.
And, while that too is a cheating scandal because, Aaron Froebel is a married man, last I heard.
Yeah.
So, but yet somehow that didn't, you know, sting New Japan enough, even though they know full well that Elgin's toxic in the USA because he hasn't been booked on any of the USA shows.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it seems like the only USA bookings he can get is IWA Mid-South.
What a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a shock. So, I mean, it's, you know, again, a pretty, you know, hypocritical stance on the part of, you know, if something were to happen with Taka in New Japan too. Seems like he's got pretty much enough going wrong with him at K-Dojo.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, is this even really something that should? I mean, I don't know. You know, it's. And remember nothing. Remember when Shibata?
Yeah.
Katsuyori Shibata had a cheating scandal come up, and absolutely nothing fucking happened there.
It makes me wonder, to be honest, just the specifics on whether it was just Shibata and his family basically saying, hey, don't make a big deal out of this, we'll work it out in private, or whether it was a situation where somebody just like Shibata is more important to our company, then it'd be like trouble to punish him.
Yeah, or than Taka is, you know, or, mm-hmm. or Taichi was in 2014.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's, ugh. Yeah, it's ugly. I hate that we even need to talk about this, but yeah, we kind of need to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has been one of the biggest problems with pro wrestling in 2018 is the preponderance of scumbaggery that goes on. And, you know, I think now it's finally, you know, gotten to a point where people are, you know, speaking up about it on Moss.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, yeah, it's not cool what Taka did in the slightest.
It just feels like it's one of those things where the punishment doesn't fit the crime for once.
Like, yeah, exactly. And Hanma gets off scot-free, and Elgin still manages to work New Japan tours. Though I will note that it seems like he's been working far less than he used to.
Yeah. He's been stuck in Mexico for most of the year, from what I seem to recall.
Well, that's only been since the Grand Prix he's been going back down to Mexico.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I mean, outside of that, you really haven't heard much of even the New Japan side of the fence. It's like,
yeah, I mean, Elgin really has not been featuring. I mean, I think, like, you know, he's in the World Tag League, which we're about to discuss. But I mean, he barely featured outside. You know, that's like the first time he's been back since like G1 ended.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he really was featuring on tours a whole lot this year.
Bits and pieces here and there, but I don't think anything specifically where he was there every single day.
Yeah, and I mean, he had like he was in the Never division this year. Like, he kept challenging for the Never belt like once or twice. You know, which, whatever, you know? So, I don't know. I mean, maybe his time is coming to a close here. I don't know. Hard telling, to be honest.
Last we heard, the deal was 2 years, right, that he had signed? So,
yeah, but what? Yeah, but when did he, listed, so. Yeah, but when did he sign it?
Yeah, that's a better question to ask.
Yeah, when did he sign it? I don't know.
Mm.
So, either he's wrapping it up and he's going to have to sign a new deal, or we're still in this deal.
Mm-hmm. We'll find out sooner or later, I guess.
Yeah, we may not be seeing too much of him soon. I don't know. Which can only be a good thing, to be honest. But.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this up. I think we've discussed pretty much everything outside of this. So now we're up to the World Tag League, which is, you know, unfortunately prime who gives a shit time of year in New Japan. They're doing this one a little differently, much like the... They're doing a much like you know, it's weird. They kind of like bumped up the Super Junior Tag League to make it like a round robin format this year, and now they've scaled down the Tag League this year.
Mm.
So now it's only one block with 14 teams competing.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, if you want to get through this quicker, you might as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's going to get through it quicker, although, you know, a lot of the shows that are going to be coming up on this tour are almost going to be, like, nothing but tag league matches.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Which is, I guess, okay.
It is different, I will give them that.
Yeah, it's definitely a little different. Well, anyway, let's do the rundown of the teams. Let's do a rundown of the competing teams in this year's World Tag League.
Sure.
Start off with the one of the classics, Tenkoji, Hiroshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, Yuji Nagata, Manabu Nakanishi, two more guys that barely featured in New Japan this year. Like we've barely seen them, like especially in the last few months. Togi Makabe and Toa Hinare, that's interesting that they didn't bring Hanma back in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For this. I think they're deliberately, I good thing that they're deliberately keeping Hanma out of like anything potentially high impact. You know?
Considering what happened to him earlier this year, yeah, that's understandable.
Well, actually, no, it was in 2017.
Last year.
Yeah, it was last year that it happened. So, first time pairing Juice Robinson and, first time pairing in the tag league, I mean. Juice Robinson and David Finley, thank God it's not a fucking Sami Callihan.
Yeah.
This year.
As well.
Oh my God. That was like one of the worst decisions they've ever made, was bringing him in.
At least it was short. I'll give him that.
Yeah, there is that, yeah. But yeah, that first match where it was him and Juice against Evil and Sonata, and you know, fuck you, man. It was like, okay, I've seen pretty much everything I need to know about how this is gonna go. Michael Elgin and Jeff Cobb. Now, hold up a minute. I thought that you know, Elgin was burying Cobb around this time last year.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Cobb pitched that idea just to poke fun at Elgin, because Luke is in a much better standing with the company than he is.
Yeah, well, look who's much more. He's much, and he's a lot more over, I think, too. I mean, he's just
he smells nicer on top of it.
Oh, jeez. Here's a team I'm excited about, even though they're guaranteed to get zero wins. Ayato Yoshida and Shota Umino. So Yoshida's coming back to K-Dojo. Hope they'll let him be at the final this time, the final show this time, because...
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that was just to reiterate, that was a dick move to not book him at Power Struggle after he worked the entire tour, you know?
But, yep.
Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa. Adam Page and Yujiro Takahashi. Now, hold up a minute. I thought I read something that, like, Yujiro was staying on the Bullet Club side of the divorce, but here he is teaming with Adam Page.
Yep. As far as I know, him and Chase are like the fringe guys that are just getting left out in this divorce regardless, so rip in pieces.
Jeez. Tomohiro Ishii and Toriano, hell yeah. I like that team. I'm about that team. Best friends, of course, Trent Beretta, Chuck Taylor.
Best friends.
They're making it back.
Chucky T is a fucking treasure on Twitter.
Evil Sonata, the defending World Tag League winners. Maybe they'll go for two here. My personal favorites in this.
Yep, honestly. Same. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. My personal favorites are them, Ishiyano, and Yoshida and Umino. Mm-hmm. Jeff Cobb, you need a better partner. I'm sorry, brother.
Yeah.
It's just like that. You need a better partner. Minoru, and then three Suzuki-gun teams. Minoru Suzuki and Takashi Iizuka, Taichi, Zack Sabre Jr., and the Killer Elite Squad of Lance Archer, David Boy Smith Jr.
Yep.
So, I'm going to... I mean, my pick's going to be Evil Sonata.
Yeah, I'm thinking they go... I'm thinking they get the repeat this year as well.
Yeah. And, you know, the winners will challenge the Gorillas of Destiny. Although, you know, I'm still one of those guys that now, if the prize for winning a league like this or G1 is to have if the prize is to be able to challenge for the title, the titles at Wrestle Kingdom Should the champions maybe not be in the league then? I've been saying this for a little bit, like, maybe the champion shouldn't be in G1 if the prize is going to be to be able to challenge for the title at Wrestle Kingdom.
True. I mean, I like the idea of maybe taking the 1 year where the champions actually are so dominant that they win it and they call out their own shot and who they want to face kind of thing, but seldomly have we had any set of champions, I think, at that point that you'd think would merit that, and it still work well to the narrative, I guess is the best way of putting it. So
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think, like I said, I'm of the opinion that if that's what's at stake, then maybe don't have the champions be in it.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
But that's just, you know, that's just me, and, you know, obviously I don't do booking. Who is doing the booking anymore? Seriously, I'm really starting to think that they're either Gato's part of a committee now or they're transitioning him out.
It's a little odd this year. Not much is for certain.
Ever since Dominion, it's just been, there's been some real big questions hanging over this. You know?
One way or another, we'll find out eventually, I think.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. One way or another. Sheesh. So, but yeah, again, overall, yeah, I mean, some of these matches may be fun, but, you know, again, the World Tag League really is, like, the least consequential of any tour. Now we're into this, okay, we're into the build for Wrestle Kingdom mode.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here we have this tour that will barely get any build for anything relating to Wrestle Kingdom, if you look at, you know, the upcoming shows.
Mm-hmm.
Which you can, you know, find now at strongstylestory.tumblr.com.
Good stuff. Good plug.
So, I don't know. So let's end this on a positive note. You know, what wasn't more relevant to our interests? They announced the participating wrestlers for Fantastica Mania, which will happen after Wrestle Kingdom. And I'm liking what I'm seeing here. There's some very interesting choices here. First of all, this will be the first time that both the current Mystico and Carístico, who is the of course the original Mystico, will be on this tour. This is because Carístico was Mystico on the initial Fantastica Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Way back when. And if you don't know the story by now, long story short, Carístico is the original Mystico until he left for WWE to become the original Sin Cara. He then quit WWE, went to AAA as Mystizes, and then came back to CMLL and Lucha Libre Elite as Carístico, which is a portmanteau combining both Mystico and Sin Cara. In the meantime, the original Dragon Lee becomes Mystico, and Rush's other brother becomes the current Dragon Lee.
Yeah, some shit, to say the least.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, hey, so, there's a couple of debuts that are going to be happening here. One is going to be a true debut. Atlantis Jr., a son of Atlantis.
Oh, wow.
Now, this will be his debut as Atlantis Jr. He has been working the indies as Tiburon. But now he's actually going to, they're finally putting, you know, he's going to be performing in CMLL, and he's going to have the Atlantis Jr. name.
Now, I believe there's to fill. Yeah, definitely.
I believe there already is an Hijo de Atlantis that's out there, too. But some other debuts here. Two of the rookie sensations in CMLL this year have been Aldaz on the Technico side and Templario on the Rudo side. They're coming over.
Neat, yeah.
So
I'm excited to see a couple of these guys since I don't follow CMLL as much, and usually Fantastica Mania is a really fun way for me to see a lot of these guys that are coming in through CLL and that are making some semblance of noise and doing good things.
So anyway, so here's the complete list of who's going to be coming over. For the Technicos, Atlantis, of course, because you can't not have Atlantis on this. Misiko Karistiko, Volador Jr., Dragon Lee, Titan Angel de Oro, who has been since unmasked since last time he was in, Soberano Jr., and then Aldaz, Atlantis Jr., and Flyer is coming in too. He's related to, he's part of La Familia Real. So with, you know, Volador Jr. and L.A. Park, he's one of the, like a nephew or somewhere along the way. So on the Rudos side, Ultimo Guerrero and Gran Guerrero, because, you know, you can't have Fantasca Mania without Ultimo Guerrero, I guess. Terrible is coming back, as he's a member of Los Ingobernables. Barbaro Cavernario, who's been kind of Ingobernables adjacent this year, is coming over. And then all three of the Nueva Generación Dinamitas, Sansón and Cuatrero, were over last year. This year, their brother Forastero is making the trip over. And then I already mentioned Templario. And then, of course, you can't have Fantastica Mania without Shigeo Okumura, which means hopefully, Mima Shimoda will be coming too.
Yep.
And hopefully we'll not be getting completely abused like she did last year, because last year, that was horrible.
Yeah, that was... Nah.
That was not cool how she was getting treated last year by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to complain for a... I am going to complain about this for a second. Now, one thing is, like, the glaring omission here is Rush.
The other glaring omission is Hechicero as well, I would say.
Oh, yeah, he is a glaring omission. Well, Rush was a late addition last year. Like, he wasn't on the original list, and then he got announced.
Yeah.
So he may be... So Rush may still be coming over. But there's another glaring omission here.
Mm-hmm.
Niebla Roja. You know, the brother of Angel de Oro. Because remember when... He and Gran Guerrero had that rematch from the Anniversario show at Fantastica Mania, and they got a standing ovation at the end of that at Corican Hall. And it just seems odd that, you know, it was like in a 3-month time span, Niebla Roja went from losing his mask and maybe was thinking about possibly hanging it up, and then because he lost his mask, suddenly they all thought he looked like a hot boy, so he was getting bigger pops, and then, you know, you transition that in the span of 3 months, and he's getting a standing ovation at Corican Hall. But now he's not even on this tour. So kind of strange, I think. And Dragon Lee's barely wrestled in 2018. Because he's been part of a... ever since he was in that match with Hiromu, he's barely wrestled. Because he's been part of a reality show in Mexico. And the team that he's on keeps refusing to get eliminated.
Huh. So in that case, he's just like, well, guess I'm stuck here.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's kind of wild. So anyway, yeah, I mean, but you know, Fantastica Mania is always fun, and it'll be great when we get to that period of time. We can bring our good buddy, Cubs fan, back on the show for his yearly appearance on here.
The yearly booking.
Yeah, he just, you know, shows up, gets over, and then leaves for another year. You know, comes back. So. Yeah, I think we've pretty much covered everything we want to cover at this point. Do you got anything else that you could think of?
No, nothing in particular.
Okay. Well, in that case, let's just get the plugs in.
Yep, simple enough for me. You can just go over on Twitter or Instagram. That's going to be at Brazilian Fury. That's Brazilian with an S instead of a Z. Yeah, simple enough. I just tweet stuff, post pictures every once in a blue moon.
Gotcha. Well, whereas I can be found at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. The blog is at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. I also host a show focusing on soccer called Busting Balls. We do that once every 2 weeks, and we're going to be doing another show this week. Even though we're in an international break, you can find that soundcloud.com/busting-balls, or you can follow it on Twitter at bustingballspod. My personal Twitter is at gdwessel. So, shout out to our dudes, you know, Lawrence, Steve, Dion, Bunches, JB, anyone else out there. So, So that's all I got. Chris, any final words?
Nope. Let's just keep our paces up, going through and just getting out of the World Tag League as much as we can, because we've got an anniversary show eventually to do.
Yeah, our next show will be our next show is going to be our anniversary show, our anniversario, as it were, our third anniversary, as it turns out.
We're old enough to blabber words and stand up on our own 2 feet. I'm so proud of us.
And also maybe we can get a Strong Style History in before that.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. We'll see what we can do. No promises, but we're gonna see what we can do. Because it's been a while since we did one of those, so we think we're probably about past due. So, and I have an idea for a topic, but I'll talk. It's kind of a conceptual one, so I'll have to I'll discuss that with you off the air, Chris. So, anyway, on behalf of Chris Damasceno, I am Jeffrey Wessel. Thanks for listening to episode 46 of the Strong Style Story Podcast. Stay tuned to this and other fine programs here at the Pro Wrestling Only Board. We'll talk to you in a few weeks after the World Tag League, and it'll be our anniversary show / Wrestle Kingdom 13 preview. So, anyway, until then, take care. Goodbye.